This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by The Legacy Journey, a biblically based class that will give you a plan for building wealth and leaving a legacy. If you're out of debt and asking, now what? Go to stewardship.com to get your questions answered. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. The phone number to call in is 866-357-3283, 866-357-3283. It's a free call, and if you're new to the show and you're wondering why in the world would we call in, well, this is the show where we talk all about stewardship, what it means to manage this life God's way and for His glory. And we talk a lot about finances, we talk about relationships, and kind of what that looks like through the eyes of the Scripture. Of course, you can email in as well at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, that email address is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And you guys are getting more and more active on social media, specifically on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. My handle is @chrisbrownonair. That's Chris Brown on Air on all social platforms. So you can reach out that way as well. And as you're calling in, I want to tell you about something real fast. Talked to a lot of people who are battling and wondering about God's will for their life. I don't know if you've ever been there before. Maybe you're there now. A lot of times this happens in college or happens in your early 20s, and you're just kind of wondering, what is God's will for your life? And I'm not sure how many of you are wondering that. Have you ever, you know, I don't know if you've wondered that, like maybe this week, maybe. Am I doing what I'm supposed to? Am I in the center of God's will? Well, Paul has some strong thoughts on this in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Here's what he says. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I mean, that's right there. I mean, if you're not doing that, you know, where you work and where you live and who you have a relationship with, that's all secondary. But whatever we're doing, we need to be rejoicing, we need to be praying, we need to be giving thanks. Now, I may know what God's will is for your life, according to Paul, but I don't know where you're at in your financial journey. We're all in different stages of our financial journey, but let's be honest, we are all saving up for something, right? Wherever we're at. What if we could help you jumpstart your savings right here at Ramsey Solutions? What if we could help you? Well, we can. This month, we're giving away $5,000 each week. And all you have to do is head over to stewardship.com and click on the $20,000 rainy day giveaway. All you got to do is submit your information and you'll be all entered to win. So make sure you take advantage of that. Again, the phone number is 866-357-3283. And our first call is coming in from Florida. This is Timothy. Timothy, how are you?
I am doing so good. How are you, Chris?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
I just had a quick question. I've got a younger brother. He just recently turned 18. He's about to graduate from high school, and he's just really lost on kind of the direction he wants to take his life. And I'm like 16 years older than him, and so I really kind of see a lot of the same things in him that I was dealing with at his age, as far as kind of struggling to come into adulthood and have some goals. And I've just now kind of gotten the way I feel like my life on track now at 33. And I kind of want to see if I can maybe help point him in the right direction and have it not take him 15 years to figure it out. I've talked to him about, he just kind of thinks he's going to go to college just because that's what you do after high school, but he really doesn't have a plan. Doesn't have any idea what he wants to do. And so I was just kind of hoping you might could just give me some, maybe just some talking points to just, you know, things I can questions I can ask or ways I can lead him to start thinking about what he wants to do with his life.
No, definitely. I totally get it. I think you can be encouraged in the fact that you've turned out okay. So no red alarms need to go off and some kind of major alert needs to go off that this, you know, he's going to go off the handle. I don't think, based on what you said, I don't hear that. He's just being an average kid. I think a kid at 18 who has major direction and just knows exactly what they want, they are abnormal. I was going to say weird.
Sure,
I'd say a little bit weird too. That's very abnormal. So I would say that he's, based on what you've told me, he's a typical 18-year-old.
I think what concerns me is that he, if my father has raised us kind of the same way, which it sounds like he kind of has, we really haven't grown up learning the value of work.
Yeah.
And so when I ask him what he wants to do, he always comes back with, well, I'd like to have a lifestyle job that allows me to travel so it doesn't feel like work.
Nah.
And I just don't even, I mean, we didn't really grow up in the same town. My parents were missionaries when I was a kid, so I grew up in East Africa, but he's grown up in a really small town in the Midwest. And so he doesn't even feel like he and I are starting out in the same place because I had a lot more experiences than he has. He just feels like he's going to get stuck, you know, working at the local Walmart.
Yeah.
And I sent him Dave's graduate survival guide, and he just doesn't really seem very motivated for anything. I mean, I asked him, I gave him a couple of weeks, asked him if he'd read through it, and he's like, yeah, I flipped through it. You know, it looks whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I'm praying for him, but I don't really know what much more I can do than that.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. Who do you think has leverage in his life? It sounds like you've got moderate leverage in his life, but has anyone got his attention? Anyone he respects? Anyone that's important to him?
I mean, to be honest, I haven't really, I mean, I joined the military when I was 21, so I moved away. I've never really, I mean, he was 5 or 6 when I left, so I haven't really grown up near him, so I don't really even know who his peer group is. I would assume my dad has leverage, but I mean, my dad's never really pushed any of the, there's 4 boys, and he's never really pushed any of us to do much of anything. So I don't know that would be, that would be any help.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that you might be underestimating is the fact that one of the things that happens in the military is immediately you're put in a boot camp and you're broken.
Sure.
They break you. And one of the things that what I'm reading between the lines is Timothy hasn't been broken yet. So I think one of the best things you can do, obviously, is to verbally love him throughout the next couple years, but maybe give him a little bit of rope for him to make some mistakes and maybe get a little bit broken, kind of get stuck in some. It's almost like a fail-safe environment where you are a safety net, and so is his dad. But let him fall a little bit. Let him get broken. Oh, shoot, I really don't know what I need to wake up. I mean, this is adulthood. So that's what I would do. I'd kind of give him a little bit of tough love there, but verbally being loving the whole time.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. And I just think, you know, always casting a vision of not what he's doing wrong, but casting a vision of what could be. And then what I do in these kind of situations too is when somebody wants to not pay their dues and have this lifestyle job, this facade where you kind of just hang out at the beach and get paid passively, I just kind of cast a vision of like, come on now, you gotta pay your dues. Those kind of folks are just either got an inheritance or they worked really hard for 30 years and got to that place.
Right.
So a lot of times this particular generation wants to skip over all the hard work,
sure,
to get there. So I don't mean that in a negative way towards this age group, it's a reality of, and it's kind of, I mean, you can kind of leverage it and say, okay, so if you're motivated, that's motivates you, then let's see what it takes to get there. But I think you're on the right track. Just realize the differences, that you're so much older than him, that you think totally different than he is. And then any chance you get to put yourself back in his shoes like you did when you started the call. I remember when I was a kid, that's really good. That's healthy. Because you remember where you were and how you thought. And I think most of the folks that are listening in right now that are older than 18 know exactly where they were at 18. And I would say 99% of those listening in right now look back at 18, and right now they're actually shaking their head and rolling their eyes. So You know, I think it's great that he has an older brother that loves him like this, but I do want to encourage you in the fact that he's pretty normal based on what I've heard.
Right.
So I just, you know, I just encourage you in that. And then, of course, you mentioned prayer. It's a huge, huge deal. And I think I wouldn't put prayer in the end. I think you said, I'm praying, that's all I can do. That's the best thing you can do.
Right.
So just a little bit of a heads up for all of us.
Okay.
All right, Timothy. Well, hopefully that helps. And I'm just thankful that he has a great brother like you.
Chris, thank you so much for everything that you and Dave do. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Folks, prayer. When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time that you earnestly sought God for something? You know, prayer is a vital place in the life of a Christian. You know, people can pray and not be a Christian, but we can't be a Christian and not pray. A prayer is to the Christian what breath is to life. It's a big deal. We're invited, even commanded, to pray. We were created for fellowship and communion with God. The effects of the fall have left most of us lazy and indifferent towards something as important as prayer. I know it has me. Rebirth, you know, quickens a new desire for communion with God. But then we've got sin, right? And sin resists the Spirit. It's a secret to holiness, this prayer is. If we examine the lives of the great people of the church and the Bible, we find that they were great people of prayer. You know, John Wesley once remarked that he didn't think much of ministers who didn't spend at least 4 hours a day in prayer. Luther said he prayed regularly for an hour every day. Check this out. Except when he experienced a particular busy day. Then he prayed for 2 hours. Folks, prayer is central and crucial in the life of a Christian. And we all, you know, as we're talking about practical wisdom all the time on this show, listen, let's not put all of our hope in our own understanding. We've got to rely on God's understanding.
So you've been using Financial Peace University. You're on the plan, out of debt, and working the rest of the baby steps. But now you're hit with a whole new set of questions. Things you weren't even thinking about while paying off debt. Well, that's why we created the Legacy Journey DVD Home Study. These biblically based lessons will teach you about building wealth and leaving a legacy. They'll give you a plan for the next steps in your financial journey. If you want to know more, head to stewardship.com and get your questions answered today.
Again, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and the number is 866-357-3283. And it looks like we've got Bree calling in from Jones, Oklahoma. Bree, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm very, very well. How can I serve you?
Oh, yeah. So the problem is that we've got our written budget, and we're upside down, like, horribly on our truck.
Mm-hmm.
We owe $25,000, but it's only worth about $15,000. So with our truck payment, our gas every month, and our insurance, we're paying about $1,000 a month. What do we do?
What's your income?
About $5,400 every month. That's net.
Okay. Whose truck is it?
It's mine.
Let's see. What do you have? Any other debts?
We have a mortgage that's $1,340, and then a second mortgage that's $400, and the truck insurance and gas, and we owe some on some credit cards. And a couple other small debts, some student loans and a Dell computer, you know.
Okay. And your savings?
We're working on that. We're just getting on the budget.
So. Yeah, yeah. And how many months have you been doing the budgeting?
Month one.
Okay, okay. How far are you into this truck?
We've owned it now for a couple years, 2.5 years or so. I bought it for $34,000.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, now I owe about $25,000.
Okay. And what's a good goal for you to get out of this? 10 months, 6 months? What would be like a really good goal for you to hit?
You know, I think one of the biggest questions that we're trying to figure out is just, you know, is it worth keeping the truck, or is it worth, you know, not keeping the truck and not paying it off and getting into something that's more fuel, you know, has more fuel economy, since we're paying so much in gas every month, like $350 a month in gas.
Yeah, well, it's definitely the right idea to get rid of the truck, even with the $10,000 hit. Because with all that debt that you have and your second mortgage together is even high.
Yeah.
So you've got some heavy expenses, and so you got to cut that down from what's probably about a $500 payment, I'm guessing.
Yes. Yeah. 502.
Yeah. So you got a $500 payment, and let's just say that you can cut the rest of the expenses in half from the other 500 to, let's just say, 300. We'll sell the truck or give it back to the dealer, and you've got to go out and get a loan for $10,000 to cover the difference. So now, instead of you owing on 25 grand or 34, which is the original purchase price, now you have a loan out on 10. That $502 payment now goes down to 200. You just freed up $300 a month to knock out all that debt. So,
okay, but then what do I drive? I mean, I still need to have a vehicle.
Exactly. What you'll have to do is you'll have to take out a loan not for 10. You'll have to take out a loan for 11. And you'll give 10 to the dealership, and you'll drive a $1,000 car for the next 3 years. And then here's the deal. Whenever you're making these decisions, and it's not fun at all, but what you want to do is you got to ask yourself, what lines up with this verse, Proverbs 6, 1 through 5, really, that whole entire passage. But Proverbs 6, 5 says, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of a fowler. You think about that, like a gazelle running from a hunter. You see the gun and you're like, oh my goodness, I've got to get out of here. That's what's going to make you win with finances. It's not going to be just kind of like, oh, I think I'll shave here. I think I'll shave here. It won't work. You've got to get nuts.
Well, I mean, and that's why I even called in, because I was just like, when I saw the budget, this was like a big black hole, you know.
Yes.
I was like, this is way too much in my budget for vehicle, you know, for vehicle expenses. And this has got to go so we can get these other debts paid off faster, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, your peace of mind is sitting in your driveway. You've got your money all tied up in a piece of metal, and that's where your peace of mind is. As soon as you get rid of that truck, and you start paying down some of these debts, and you start sleeping better at night, you're going to be like, you know what? I love this $1,000 car. I can sleep good at night. And you know what? You know, we can. So I just, I couldn't encourage you enough to dump the car. And I know it hurts. And you're going to have to make a ton of good decisions after this to make up for that $10,000 loss. But I don't see a way where you pay on this $500 a month for another 2 or 3 years, and it makes sense. I don't see that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your advice. I've been really struggling with this one, and that sounds like a really good solution.
All right, Bree, and we're cheering you on. You can do this.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye bye. Well, folks, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was right after the recession hit, and some bad real estate investments that I had made sapped our emergency fund. My wife Holly and I had to start rebuilding our finances from scratch, which meant coming up with some cash and doing it fast. It was a rough time for our family, but God sustained us and blessed our effort. And now we're on the other side. And we've actually grown closer as a couple because of all this. Maybe you're there now, and maybe you're worried about an emergency that you couldn't pay for. Maybe you're in debt. Or maybe you're wanting to invest for retirement and trying to send your kids to college all at the same time. Well, if you are, I am proof. I'm just one person of proof. There's tons of proof out there. But I am proof that it is possible to claw your way out. Like Holly and I did. The first thing we did, the first step to taking control of your money, is quickly establishing a starter emergency fund. I know that can seem impossible when you're already buried in debt. Some of you are. But sometimes it takes a little bit of encouragement to accomplish something that seems impossible. So I want to give you the same opportunity that I had. You've heard me talk about Financial Peace University, the class that God literally used to change the trajectory of my life. And if you go to stewardship.com, sign up and receive the newsletter, we'll send you the first lesson of that class. The lesson all about saving up that emergency fund, and we'll do it for free. We want to encourage you. We want to guide you through this journey, because all this talk about money, it isn't about worshiping the provision, but worshiping the provider by managing his provision. So start saving right away by heading over to stewardship.com and sign up for the newsletter to get that first lesson of Financial Peace University right there in your inbox.
We appreciate you joining us today for Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's get back to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
This next phone call comes in from Abilene, Texas. This is Daniel. Daniel, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, I just want to say thanks for taking my call. I've listened to Dave Ramsey's show for quite a while, and I've heard you on there a number of times as well. I just really appreciate you guys and the easy-to-understand, applicable insights you guys put out there every day. So,
well, thank you. Thank you very much.
We kind of got a unique situation. I hear you guys talk about refinancing your home quite often.
Mm-hmm.
And a little backstory, we're about 10 years ago, my wife and I had just gotten married. We're ready to buy a home. My financial picture was an absolute wreck. And so when we went to fill out for loans, it was actually probably a negative to try to put me on there as a cosigner or whatever you call it. So we completely set up the loan in my wife's name. Thankfully, her financial picture was much better.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to get a home. And so fast forward to today, thank the Lord, things have completely turned around from my financial picture. And we're in a situation now where my wife no longer works outside the home. She is able to stay at home and work with our girls. And so then I'm the primary income earner for our family. And so we're hearing that, you know, rates are good and opportunity to refinance may be there. But because my name is not on the loan in any form or fashion, I didn't know what options we had. You know, can we still refinance or how can that work?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think you just whoever's names are on the deed can qualify for a refi. So you can go in there, either it's in your name or in her name or in both. You could do either one of those, whatever works. You just want to talk with, you know, of course, we recommend Churchill Mortgage is a great organization to talk to about this. But, you know, you just ask, hey, what is the rates? What rates can we get either way? Let's try all three and see which one's best. What rate do you have now?
Right now we're at 4.875.
Okay, yeah. So you have some considerable savings based on the rates now.
Yeah.
What's the home value?
Upper 90s. I'm not sure we could break 100.
And what's the mortgage amount?
We still owe 65.
And how many years are you into it?
About 4.5.
Okay. You plan on staying there for a while?
At the moment, yeah.
Okay. And what's your monthly take-home pay?
Probably $4,500.
The payment's below 1,000?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're around like 600 with our taxes and insurance.
That's great. Well, here's the deal. Here's the things to consider when you go to do this, okay? You're looking for a payment that is no more than 25% of your income, which obviously you're doing that well already, but on a 15-year fixed mortgage, not a 30-year. A 15-year fixed mortgage is what you're looking for with enough down payment, which you obviously have, to avoid PMI. So you've got enough equity in there where you can do that. But that's what you're looking for. And I think if you go from a 30-year to a 15, you're still going to be below that 25% because you've got a very conservative home for your income. And I think you'd be able to do that. But that's really what you're looking for. And then, of course, that rate is going to go down in the threes, I'm sure. You know, what you're looking for is a break-even analysis is what you're going to do. And you're going to make sure that the cost of the refi, that it's worth it. That's why I asked you how long you're planning on staying in the home. The reason why we refi, folks, is not for lower payments. We are refiing for less interest paid. That's the big difference, less interest paid. So you might go to this 15-year and actually have a little bit higher of a payment, but you're going to pay a lot less interest. You're going to pay the house off quicker. So that's what's crucial. But really, really appreciate the call, Daniel. Well, folks, that is all for today. Don't forget, head over to stewardship.com and enter the $20,000 rainy day giveaway. Consider yourself reminded. We're giving away $5,000 each week in the month of May. Again, that's stewardship.com. Just click the link, submit your information, and you'll be entered to win. Well, I pray you've not only been encouraged today, but also challenged. As we all seek to become more and more like Jesus, as we seek to make a difference in this world, let's live more than average lives. When we live average lives, we're really living in kind of a pre-backwards. Average is like, you're just before going backwards. We got to be progressing. Like Pastor Stephen Furtick says, we're not striving for perfection, but progress. As we strive after living this life God's way and for God's glory. God bless you.